Hi everyone, this is Coach Tim with the Archery Geek TV podcast. I want to welcome you to episode 2. In this episode, we're going to be talking about some news from the archery industry, as well as going over some aspects of your shooting form, and we're also going to be talking about community. As always, we look forward to hearing from you with your questions, and if you want anything clarified, please don't hesitate to send a message. We'll see you after the break, and we'll begin our discussion. Welcome back, everyone. In archery news, probably the biggest thing that came out this week, 77 million viewers tuned in for the Hyundai World Cup competition. That's huge. 77 million people around the world tuned in to watch an archery competition. How great is that? Seriously. 77 million people. And yes, I know I'm repeating that, but it just blows me away. Since 2012, world organizations have really amped up their game in an effort to make archery a mainstream sport, one that is viewed by 77 million people. In 2012, the Olympics, because of the influence of Hollywood, the Olympic archery portion was viewed by more people than the basketball. I believe the statistics were 12 million people tuned in to watch the archery competitions during the Olympics. That was 2012. Fast forward 7 years, and now we're talking 77 million people around the world have tuned in. USA Archery has really fostered a relationship with NBC Sports. So here in the United States, NBC Sports and their web content are carrying a lot more archery. That's a beautiful thing. NBC Sports also carries the Olympics. And NBC Sports adding archery to their Olympic coverage showed them that there is a viewership for it, which in turn led to a contract to showcase archery for several years on their social platforms and their websites and even on their broadcasts. This is a huge deal for the sport of archery. Now, you may be a bow hunter and you may not give a lick about who the Olympic world champion is or who the Hyundai World Cup world champion is. Or you may be somebody who is passionate about it. But the thing is, both of you gain by this mainstream media coverage and the sport gains. So this is a huge deal for the sport of archery and for the grassroots people and the organizations that are out there busting their butt every day to create new things to bring new people to the sport. Also in news, USA Archery has announced their regional elite development programs now I'm working with and up and rebranding the Compound Junior Dream Team. They've also announced the Athlete Development Program, which is designed to be a long-term program that will develop athletes throughout their archery career. So we've had some pretty significant news. This is all good. USA Archery is really rocking the promotion, and I couldn't be happier. Back in 2012, they readily admitted that they got caught flat-footed by Hollywood, and they've done nothing but an exemplary job of taking the ball and running with it and promoting archery to the world. So, from Archery Geek TV and Archery Encounters, thank you once again, USA Archery, for making our sport the wonderful thing that it is. Well, that's it for our news segment today. We'll see you after the break, and we'll talk about some shooting form. I'm saving the community aspect for last, so we'll give you a few surprises there at the end. Welcome back, everyone. Have you ever wondered why instructors and coaches and even fathers or grandfathers showing a new person how to shoot a bow and arrow? Have you ever wondered why they emphasize the corner of the mouth as your anchor point? Well, the simple answer is it gives you two benefits. Number one is it's a natural body position. Your arms are straight, lining up right behind the arrow. And the other is that the corner of your mouth, more often than not, aligns with your dominant eye. So where you're looking and where the arrow are pointing are on the same plane. The arrow is a few inches down below the corner of your eye, but where you're looking, the arrow's trajectory is going to fly. When you pull the bowstring back around deeper onto your face, the corner of your face, your face doesn't have corners. Your face has a natural roundness to it. So as you pull that string back, you're actually looking parallel to the path of the arrow. So you may be looking at a yellow spot on a target face or the kill zone on a 3D animal target. But if you're pulling back past the corner of your mouth, your eye is looking at that spot, but the arrow is pointing several inches to the right or the left, depending on which your hand is in your dominant eye. So, we emphasize the corner of the mouth as a starting point because, number one, it's natural body position. Number two, it aligns with your dominant eye. And a third benefit of that is it gives you a consistent stopping point. Now, when you take and move your hand up and down through the corner of your mouth, no matter where you are, whether you're right underneath your eye, underneath your chin, anywhere along that plane, you're looking where the arrow is pointing. And that helps you improve your aim, your accuracy, and your consistency. I hope that makes some sense to you, helps clarify some things. It doesn't matter how far back the string is pulled. What matters is that the string is stopped at the corner of your mouth, or in line with the corner of your mouth, somewhere on your face. That it will produce consistent, accurate results as you progress in your practices. Probably the biggest tech tip I can give you guys today is regarding arrow speed. Now, in certain competition formats, they actually have speed restrictions on your arrows. You're only allowed, for example, Archery Shooters Association, you're only allowed to shoot 280 feet per second. IBO, you can shoot as fast as the bow will go as long as you stay within their 70-pound draw weight, 30-inch draw length, and 5 grains per draw. 5 grains of arrow weight per every pound of draw weight. So if you're staying within those standards in IBO, your arrow can be as fast as it can be. Unfortunately, that has led to a thought that speed counts. When you're judging distances and you don't know that target is at 32 yards, so you need to adjust your trajectory accordingly, yes, the speed of the arrow will keep you in the scoring rings. But there's no points for getting to the target first. And quite frankly, if you have to hurt yourself in order to get your bow back so you can get 340 feet per second, what's the point of you participating in archery? Seriously, if you have to yank the bow down, race it up to the sky, twist your body, basically become a contortionist just to get the bow to its anchor point, to your anchor point, you need to reevaluate how you're doing it. Because if you can't draw the bow with good form repeatedly, and by repeatedly, I don't mean 2 or 3 times. I mean dozens of times over the course of a competition or the course of a practice session. If you start out real good, but 10 arrows into it, now you're struggling. All you're doing is ingraining bad habits. So don't worry about the speed of your bow. Quite frankly, you're never going to get to the speed of sound. So, I've had several bow hunters tell me that deer won't jump their string because their arrow is moving so fast, they'll never hear it coming. That's not true. 350 feet per second boils down to about 250 to 260 miles per hour. The speed of sound is 738 miles per hour. So it's not even close. That's the tech tip for you today. Don't emphasize your speed. Don't hurt yourself. Execute the best shot you can, the most comfortable shot you can, and the results will stand on their own. community is a wonderful thing. It can be as large as you want it to be, or it can be as small as you want it to be. Community can be your entire city, your entire country, your entire world, or it can be you and two friends, or even three friends. But we are all part of multiple communities. And there are very few things that transcend those community breakdowns. One of those is the sport of archery. Every culture on Earth, for thousands of years, have experienced archery. Most of what we have in America today, we probably wouldn't have if it wasn't for the Persians and the Chinese and the Syrians and the Assyrians. So our sport is ancient. Our sport is the world. Our sport is human history. That is where I want to talk about community. We all live in a community, and we are all segments of smaller communities within that community. So, for example, we are the archery community, but each one of us lives within a block, within a city, or a neighborhood in the suburbs, or in the United States, or in France, or in China, or in India. So this community becomes a huge case study in Venn diagramming. Because how many of you have one solitary interest, one solitary group of friends that doesn't fit in with any other groups within that community, within that Venn diagram? The answer is none of you. We're all part of a global community, we're all part of a national community, we're all part of a regional, all part of a local, and then we get down to the social level where we're part of the entrepreneur community, or we're part of the immigrant community, or part of, but the one thing that crosses all of those communities is the sport of archery. Many people don't think about it, but if you take the time and realize that everybody in your community has a connection to the sport of archery and an intrinsic ability to do the sport of archery, we can end a lot of the divides and the prejudices and the elitism. I'm hesitant to use that word, but let's face it, when we're inside of our community, we feel like we're superior to other communities around us. And, you know, but we'll use it. The sport of archery is involved in all of those communities at some level. Talk to your friends. Oh, you may have never even thought of it. Oh, this guy's a bow hunter. Oh, wow. Who knew that? You know, oh, this guy is in your community of communities, so on and so forth. You will find archery. Period. End of conversation. You will find people with an interest in archery, thus expanding it further. So how can we, as archers, as coaches, as instructors, as parents wanting to pass it down to our children, how can we use archery to make our communities better? I'm real lucky. I've been able to do several events over the last 10 years that have reached thousands of people. And not a one of those thousands of people left the archery range with a frown. The kids, wild-eyed, excited, running around, "Mommy, I did archery. Mommy, I did archery. Daddy, did you see that arrow? Did you see that? Daddy, I hit the bullseye, or I hit the target, or look, Daddy, I did this, I did that." And then, why can't every person in my community have that same smile on their face? It may only be for an hour out of the day, out of a very long work week. So that's what I've set my goal to be. Involve as many people and expose as many people to the sport of archery as I possibly can. Like I said, I've been really lucky in able to interact with thousands of people over a 10-year period with their first experience with a bow and arrow. I believe that bow and arrow can be the tool that bonds our community in a common interest and a commonality that shatters all of those Venn diagram little groups that are surrounding us. Bringing the immigrant community together with the suburb community, together with the entrepreneurial community, together with the geek culture community. And they're all standing on the shooting line together, having fun. The richest guy in town is standing next to the poorest guy in town. They're having fun, they're learning from each other, they're interacting. That's what I envision. And I hope that you that are out there listening to this podcast that do have an involvement in archery are doing something to bring new people to the sport and bond your communities to the larger community. With that, this episode is over, and I hope you'll join us for episode 3. Tune in, have a great day, and may your arrows always land in the 10 ring.